Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
The White House announced today that President Trump plans to invite Russian President Vladimir Putin to Washington this fall in what is sure to be the worst ever episode of Undercover Boss.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to MSNBC's Katie Turr about the wild week in the news. Then, exclusively for this podcast, Katie answers a few more questions backstage. But first, a closer look.
Republicans have opposed every attempt to hold President Trump accountable for his comments on Russian election meddling, but there is one idea they seem to like: more tax cuts. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump continues to stammer and backpedal after his disastrous performance with Vladimir Putin on Monday. In an interview with Fox News, for example, he seemed to imply that Russia was actually an ally of the United States, but also insisted that he was not pro-Russia.
Look at World War I and World War II. That was Germany. And in World War II, Russia lost 50 million people and helped us win the war. And I was saying to myself the other day, I said, you know, Russia really helped us. I'm not pro-Russia, pro-anybody.
I'm not pro-anybody. It would have been much more honest if Trump had said that with his hand on the Bible. I'm not pro-anybody. I'm only pro-myself, and I stand firmly behind my closest allies, me, myself, and I. So help me God, a person who, if I'm being honest, I could leave or take. Now, of course, diplomacy is infinitely preferable to conflict, but Russia isn't just an adversary. It's a repressive state that interferes in our elections, kills journalists and dissidents, uses nerve gas on foreign soil, and invades its neighbors. And yet, Trump, who has repeatedly cast himself as a fighter and counterpuncher, wouldn't even use the word adversary to describe Russia.
Are they our chief adversary, would you say?
Well, they're strong military, but their economy is much smaller, as you know, than China. And I don't want to even use the word adversary. We can all work together. We can do great. Everybody can do well, and we can live in peace.
This guy will wake up at 5 a.m. to tweet nasty things about everyone from Snoop Dogg to Meryl Streep. But when it comes to Russia, he suddenly turns into Ringo Starr. We can all live together as one. Peace and love. Peace and love. No collusion. No collusion. Peace and love. And look, in theory, what he's saying sounds great. Of course, it would be ideal if we could be at peace with our adversaries. In fact, after World War II, we actually set up international organizations to try to do that, like NATO, or the beginnings of the European Union. And as far as world wars go, they've been pretty effective in stopping them. And yet, at every turn, Trump has attacked those organizations. In that same interview, for example, he implied that new members of NATO, like the small Eastern European nation of Montenegro, which has fewer than a million people, might actually start a war with Russia.
Membership in NATO obligates the members to defend any other member that's attacked. That's so right. Let's say Montenegro, which joined last year, is attacked. Right. Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? Why is that?
I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. You know, Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people.
Yeah, I'm not against Montenegro or Albania.
No, by the way, they're very strong people. They're very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III.
Ah, yes, the famously aggressive people of Montenegro. And I'm sorry, but there's a 0% chance that Trump ever heard of Montenegro before his meeting with Putin.
Montenegro? Oh, yeah, my friend Dave used to drive one of those. Beautiful car, the Montenegro.
Trump acts like he's an expert on Montenegro, but I'm absolutely certain he couldn't find it on a map if you gave him 10 tries.
Is it this one? Okay, is it this one? Okay, it's got to be this one.
And to be fair, I couldn't find Montenegro on a map either, but I'm not the one talking about it like I'm a producer on House Hunters International. Also, can we go back to the beginning of that clip?
Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? Why is that?
I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question.
I understand what you're saying. I asked the same question.
Sounds like he's doing a Robert De Niro impression there. And I think De Niro has something to say about you doing that impression.
Trump.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I know what I'm saying.
Trump has made clear repeatedly that he aligned himself with Putin. There are no surprises there. The question is whether Congress is willing to do anything, like censure him or subpoena his tax returns, and so far the answer's been a resounding no. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, who casts herself as an occasional Trump critic, told Politico, when the president says something that I disagree with, I will state my disagreements, sometimes very directly. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm not really a bomb thrower. I don't really lay my body in front of the train. That is an amazing quote. I don't know if you've noticed, but I would never sacrifice myself for the greater good. I'm not one of those serve the public types. Also, you don't have to lay in front of the train. The train's already off the tracks and headed your way. Right now, it's on Fox News saying something crazy about Montenegro. Trump's ties to Russian oligarchs obviously pose major conflict of interest questions and might at least partially explain his affinity for Putin. And yet, Republicans are still pushing back on demands to see Trump's tax returns. Like New York Congressman Tom Reed, who actually tried to claim that if Hillary Clinton had refused to release her tax returns, Republicans would have been fine with that.
Do you want to see his tax returns?
As we have always said, the issue of this question is that red herring. The president has made the decision. He's won the election. The way that it's been handled, we need to move forward.
Republicans had a lot of concern about where Hillary Clinton's money was tied up with the Clinton Foundation. If she said she wasn't going to release her tax returns and then became president and had a whole lot of controversy and drama surrounding her ties to a foreign government the way that Donald Trump did, would you think it was appropriate for her not to release her tax returns?
You know, that's for her to decide, and we respect that decision.
That is insane. If President Hillary Clinton had been accused of colluding with a foreign adversary to undermine an election and refused to release her tax returns, Mitch McConnell would personally dig through her trash and break into her house like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Also, stop saying we need to move forward. You support Donald Trump. He can't make it through one press conference without mentioning how many electoral votes he won 2 years ago. If he's ever indicted, he'll tell the judge,
I ask that we move this trial to Wisconsin, which I won. And many people don't know this. I also won the Carolinas, all three of them.
And then there was Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, who said that it was actually the Democrats' fault they were hacked.
Hacking emails is a crime.
Well, then, Debbie Wasserman Schultz probably shouldn't hire foreign nationals to run her congressional email accounts and give them all of her passwords.
But is that actually more serious to you? That was Donald Trump's reference to a Pakistani yesterday. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and a Pakistani American citizen is more important to you?
I don't see your dichotomy there. What I do see is that, we should protect our systems. You can't protect stupid.
What do you mean you can't protect stupid? The Secret Service does it every day.
Stupid is on the move. I'd say he's lumbering. He got some time.
So after the president openly took the side of a foreign adversary in its attempt to undermine American democracy, Republicans see no need to either subpoena his tax returns or protect our election systems. So what's their solution instead? According to Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, who met with Trump this week, the solution to Russian aggression is to make the GOP's corporate tax cuts, which are set to expire in 2025, permanent.
Peace through strength is foreign policy that works, and it works best when America has a strong economy and a strong military. Under your leadership, House and Senate Republicans are delivering on both of them. Today is about how we can strengthen America's economy even more, and we think The best place to start is with America's middle class families and our small businesses. So today we're here to talk to you about making permanent this tax relief.
Oh my God, they really think tax cuts are the solution to everything. Republicans use tax cuts the way Guy Fieri uses butter. And obviously, this is insane for a number of reasons. Not only will corporate tax cuts do absolutely nothing to deter Russian aggression, they don't even do anything to help the economy, or specifically, workers' wages, as we've already seen with these GOP tax cuts.
The financial website Payscale has released its data for the second quarter of 2018 and found that the average wage paid to U.S. workers is down for the first time since early 2015. Accounting for inflation, the wages of American workers have dropped 1.4% in the past year. That's despite one-time bonuses paid by some businesses in the wake of the GOP tax cuts.
That's right. Wages have actually gone down since the tax cuts passed. Trump said the tax cuts would raise wages. How do you explain that, Mr. President?
I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
That tracks. Totally tracks. This is one of the keys. One of the keys to understanding what's happening right now, the GOP establishment and donor class are fine with Trump's attacks on democracy as long as they can enrich themselves. They're hostile to democracy because democracy is hostile to their agenda. And they think passing another tax cut bill and pleasing their wealthy donors will protect Trump politically. But if there's one thing we've learned this week, it's that...
You can't protect stupid.
This has been a closer look. Our guest is an NBC News correspondent, the anchor of the 2 p.m. hour of MSNBC Live. Her best-selling book, Unbelievable, My Front Row Seat to the Craziest Campaign in American History, is in paperback August 28th. Please welcome back to the show, Katie Turr, everybody. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, my God. Thanks for being back. You've done two separate hours on MSNBC today, so we can't believe you're making more time for us. Thank you for being the hardest working person in the building this
afternoon. I took some steroids to get my voice back.
Okay,
so
good.
That's the good
news. The biggest fear for someone like you. You have to talk a lot.
You do.
I'm glad you have it back. I want to ask about this because one of the things that happened this week, we all remember famously July 27, 2016, Donald Trump said, if you're out there listening, I'd love to see Hillary Clinton's emails. Basically, invited them to hack her a server. And it came up this week that Robert Mueller basically said that day they tried.
Yes.
So you confronted him at the rally that day about his comments.
Yeah.
What was it that he said to you?
It was one of the weirdest moments in what was a very weird campaign. Very,
be careful with
that. I know. There were a lot of, there were a lot. But this one was particularly weird. We're in the middle of one of his golf courses. We're in a ballroom, this very gaudy ballroom with this patterned carpet.
He has a,
I'm just gonna say it. It was a little over-decorated, fine. It was also really freezing in there. It's like he was trying to freeze us or send us to Siberia, maybe.
Okay, gotcha.
And he comes out. It's the middle of the Democratic National Convention. Usually presidents or presidential candidates go dark when they're not having their convention, but he wants the attention. And there had been some rumors about hacking. The DNC had been hacked. Some emails came out. It was very embarrassing for the DNC. And there was talk about maybe it being Russia. Nothing had been confirmed yet. It was all kind of bubbling out there. Donald Trump comes out and starts talking about Russia all of a sudden and how everybody thinks that Russia's hacking. They're not hacking. And, oh, by the way, I want to see those emails. And I remember sitting there and thinking, wait, what? Did Donald Trump just ask a foreign government to hack into Hillary Clinton's emails? Did that just happen? That's even weird by Donald Trump standards.
Sure.
And I remember thinking, I got to ask this guy about it. And at this time, he kind of hates me, so he's not letting me ask questions. And the next couple questions that came out were about something else, about the economy or something just totally not on the topic of Russia. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I'm the crazy person. Maybe that's a totally normal thing. And that's just part of politics and I'm naive. But eventually I decide that, no, it's a big question. And I got to get his attention. So I'm waving my arm frantically and he's not calling on me. And so I go back to my tried and true strategy, which is to flatter him in order to get him to pay attention to me. And so I said, your poll numbers are really great. And he turns and looks at me and he says, Katie. Katie, is that you? Are you wearing a disguise? Oh, no, that is you. And I said, yes, your poll numbers are great. Let me ask you about Russia. Does it not give you pause? to ask a foreign government to hack into the election. And he doesn't even let me finish the sentence. No, it does not give me pause. What should give you pause is Hillary Clinton and her missing emails. And I said, hold on. You are asking a foreign government to meddle. And he's like, you're just trying to save her. And I said, no, you're asking a foreign government to meddle. And he keeps steamrolling over me. And he, at the end of it, says, no, I would really like to see those emails. So that was a huge day. This is an American presidential candidate asking for help from a foreign government, doing it very blatantly. It was very weird. But then the campaign continues on, and he says a whole bunch of other totally crazy things.
Yeah.
And the intelligence community...
Yeah, we just have to, like, then we just throw stuff away. We don't have room.
Everything gets totally buried by the next controversy, which is what actually ended up really helping him, because you couldn't focus on just one thing. And a lot of folks asked, well, why didn't you press that harder? We had no indication whatsoever from anybody in the intelligence community. Peter Strzok wasn't texting any of us and saying, hey, I got this information on Donald Trump. We had no idea. The only hint we had to it was that press release that came out on October 7th, which was also the day that Donald Trump, the tape came out where Donald Trump was bragging about grabbing women by certain parts.
No memory.
So that got buried. And it was only a press release that said Russia wanted to meddle. It had nothing to do with Donald Trump's campaign. Fast forward to today, and oh my God, that date is so significant. We had it come out in the indictment that that Mueller put out on Friday, saying July 27th, the day Donald Trump said, Russia, if you're listening, that is the day that the conspirators in the indictment, these 12 Russians, started for the first time, and it says it in the indictment, for the first time, try to get into Hillary Clinton's emails and server.
You know, it seems like one of the many theories as to why Trump behaved the way he did at the press conference was that any admission of meddling by Russia delegitimizes his win. Based on your covering him, do you think there's any weight to that theory?
I think there's a lot of weight to that theory. I think he can't decouple it. Mm-hmm. He sees any indication or any hint that Russia helped him will put an asterisk by his name, and he doesn't want an asterisk by his name. He wants his name to be bolder and a little bit bigger font than everybody else.
Right.
And I think he also knows that whether he coordinated or colluded or knew about it or not, he knows that those emails helped him.
Both your parents were reporters as well. This was in your DNA. But they were in Los Angeles, they were helicopter reporters.
They were much cooler than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you actually see helicopters when you were a kid and be like, oh, that's one of my parents are up
there? So when I wasn't in a helicopter, I would see them above. My parents, they worked a ton. It's the news business. It's crazy. And so they would miss things like baseball games or basketball games, whatever thing I had after school. And so their way of making up for it was to hover above the baseball field when I was like 11. And I'm a face full of acne. I'm very awkward. I wear t-shirts down to my knees and I don't want to be noticed. And my parents, meanwhile, are hovering in a helicopter saying, go, Katie Turr. Hit a home run.
That is a nightmare.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was mortifying.
But there's a
really good story about that.
Great.
Can I tell you this one other one?
Please.
So I'm a self-involved preteen. And I go to school in the Palisades, in Brentwood, actually, and I see my parents hovering overhead, and I think, God damn it, why won't they leave me alone? And I go hide. I hide because I don't want them to see me on the playground when I'm in sixth grade. And I'm furious about it. I get home, and I start yelling at my mom. How dare you? How dare you hover over my school? That is my school. You got to give me some privacy. And my mom's like, Katie Turr, we were over OJ's house. OJ lived down the street from my school. I was totally self-absorbed. I thought they were paying attention to me. And it was OJ.
Well, I remember during the Bronco chase being like, that's Katie Turr. Hey, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for doing triple duty.
Always such a pleasure. Can't wait to read this in paperback. Katie Turr, you can see her 2 p.m. weekdays on MSNBC. Her book, Unbelievable, is in paperback August 28th.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Katie Turr of MSNBC.
Woo-woo!
Katie, you did, as Seth was saying, 2 hours of live TV today, and then you came here. How do you... I don't understand it. You did a show from 2 to 3, then you did a show from 5 to 6.
Yes.
What are you doing in those in-between hours? Like, how do you... And before it even begins, before the 2 o'clock?
I have, like, trainers that are like, you know, massaging my muscles and pouring water on my head and wiping the blood from my lip.
I picture you on a treadmill in front of like a, just a news screen and, yeah. and reading a newspaper
and
at the same time.
And they're just pumping me full of steroids and drugs. You could do it.
Because you're also sick.
This I am make sick. You a little sick. I actually did uptake a steroid today. No joke. NBC did not pump me full of it. I chose okay, my good, own to good. Get the steroid.
You're not in there
just
like,
to be clear.
You're not in their anchor lab?
No. I was made in a test tube in their, for their anchor lab. I was built to anchor.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, I well. Wasn't. You can't tell. You know I wasn't built to anchor. I can't read the prompter.
Do you have
I'm always mumbling and really? Stumbling over the prompter.
Oh, interesting. I've never noticed it.
I'm surprised.
Is that where you have a lot of guests around? It's just easier just, to talk to people.
It's just like you have to read their name and then they have these titles that go on yeah. forever. They can't just be one thing. They've got to be five
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Is it? But on these days, is it like, do you have any sense of what time it is right now? Like, what are you doing between being live twice in one day? How do you prepare for that?
No, what am I honestly doing? So I get
so
off
confused.
Well, at 3 o'clock. I get off. I do this every Monday at least. And when Chuck's gone, I do it whenever he's out. So at 3 o'clock, I get off set. I go do a really quick post meeting with my 2 p.m. team where I say everything was wonderful or everything was total shit. And you got to do better next time. I never say that. and then I have a 3:15 p.m. call uh-huh. with my next team. And we go wow. through the show. And then I sit and stare at my computer and read some articles. And then I do a couple other busy work things. And then I go on set.
It's amazing. So one of the big stories that broke today was your colleague, Andrew Mitchell, interviewing Dan Coats, head of the DNI.
Amazing.
It's an amazing thing because Andrew Mitchell tells Dan Coats that Trump has invited Putin to the White House this fall. Dan Coats is shocked at the news. What is your sense of that? And to the larger point, like why these are handpicked people Trump put in his team. Why does he like dismissing them and not including them in decision making?
You say shocked. You're totally underselling it.
Yeah.
He had no idea. Yeah. Andrew Mitchell said, have you heard about this? And he said, wait, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that should be interesting. I mean, he was totally taken aback.
Right.
What does Donald Trump think of Dan Coats? I never heard Donald Trump say a bad thing about Dan Coats, but now there's a lot of source reporting out there that you're seeing come out in various publications. Oh, Donald Trump has never really liked Dan Coats. I mean, I think he everything's transactional with him. It's what can you do for me? It's the Eddie Murphy skit. What have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't done anything for him lately, or if you have gone against him or not made him look good or contradicted him, suddenly you're not on his team and he's not loyal to you any longer.
Are the people around him surprised to find that out? That's what I can't understand.
It's, what is so weird about it is that you have those people, some people that are on the outside, people who have been fired,
mm-hmm.
and all they want is to get back on the inside. So they hate him and they rumble about it. Yeah. But if they had an opportunity to get back on the inside, they would jump at it. They want he inspires this cult like devotion to those that are around him. They just people that work for him love him even though he abuses them.
Right. It is an incredible.
That's not everybody, but there's some.
I'm just going through in my head all of the people that have come through that administration.
Yeah. I don't think Rex Tillerson's dying to get back on the
no,
inside.
No, I think he's good. But where's Chris Christie these days? He never got
in,
actually.
I think Chris Christie is one of those. Reince Priebus, Sean Spicer,
yeah.
Sam Nunberg, Anthony Scaramucci. I think all of these guys would really like an opportunity to be back in. I mean, I'm not going to speak for them. They might say, Katie, Turr,
right.
you're totally wrong.
Right.
But I would imagine that a lot of them would like to be back in the inside.
As someone who's been covering Trump since the beginning, essentially day one of the campaign, is there anything he's done as president that surprises you or kind of you did not expect after covering him so long in the campaign trail? Or is how he handles himself as president very in line with how he did as a businessman, then as a candidate?
I mean, nothing really surprises me because he's the same person he was in the campaign trail. I mean, does it surprise me that in the middle of this avalanche of criticism over the way he handled that news conference with Vladimir Putin and how obsequious he was to him. Does it surprise me that now he's invited Vladimir Putin to Washington?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's really confusing. It's like, oh, got another thing. But I think that there is no bottom to this. He endorsed a credibly accused child molester for the Senate.
Yeah.
I mean, let that sink in.
Vocally.
And we don't talk about that anymore.
No, right. Yeah, there's too much. Well, thank you for the reporting you've been doing.
That's a good place to end.
Get that Rory Moore shout out in at the end. I will say, thank you for doing the reporting you've been doing. It was really fascinating and fantastic watching you during the campaign. It is great to have you on MSNBC. You help make sense of something that is impossible to make sense out of.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's great. And thank you. You did our midterm podcast.
I loved it.
A few weeks ago. It was really nice.
Have me on again. I like talking to you, Henry.
Please. I like talking to you. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Katie.
Bye.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.